Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. It's just around the place, everybody just close your eyes. Whether you're kneeling, standing. God wants us to yield ourselves to Him this morning. The word yield means to give way, but also the word yield means to produce, to be fruitful, to yield a harvest. The first part, I believe, is that God is saying to us, I want you to yield. Just yield your life, yield yourself. Make way. There's a harvest that God wants to produce in and through our lives individually and together, but firstly that yielding, that personal surrender, that yielding. God spoke to us on the encounter nights in different ways. It was an incredible 3 nights, particularly the third evening, Thursday. It was literally like God was walking amongst us in the room. It was an awe. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just... And a phrase that God gave me was, for my own life, was... Clive, I want you to live in yielded obedience to me. The flesh hates that, absolutely hates it. But your spirit, man, loves it. Let's just yield afresh to Him this morning. Everything you are, everything you have. Bring it under His Lordship. Father, I yield to You. Just yield to Him and let Him take control. Let Him be Lord of what already belongs to Him today. Father, we're under Your Lordship. We belong to You. In that yielding, there's a release. Because as we yield ourselves to Him, as we say, not my will, Father, but Yours be done. Not my ways, but Yours. Not my desires, but Yours. Not my thoughts, but Yours. Not my decisions, but Yours, Father. As we yield, that makes way for Him to work in and to work through. It makes way for Him to be who He is in our lives. So that as we yield to Him, He can then yield a harvest through us. As we yield to Him, He can then yield Himself through us. Because He is the giver of life. And as we yield our lives to Him, He releases afresh His life in us. And as we continue to yield to Him, then He yields. He brings His life. He brings something through these earthen vessels, through His children. But then from that yieldedness, there's an obedience. Now, in the natural obedience in life is like, oh, just obey. Just do as you're told. If you're going to obey, somebody gives a command, you just do it. That commands, the obedience that Jesus talks about, is in the whole context of relationship. It's not a sergeant major barking a command at his troops. When God comes with a command, it's in the context of relationship. And that obedience is in the context of love. And that yieldedness says, Father, I yield afresh to You. I want to be under Your Lordship. I want to live in who I am in You. I yield in You, but I yield to You because I want to obey You. I want to walk in Your ways. I want to walk in Your goodness. I want to walk in Your commands. I want to walk in who You are. And in that yielded obedience, there's a fresh release of His life, of His promises, his goodness. I love the Holy Spirit. He takes all of the stress and strain out of our lives. He takes all of the effort out of our lives. That's why God has given us, one of the reasons he's given us the Holy Spirit, so that we don't have to try to be godly. We don't have to try to please God. We don't have to try and do stuff. He says, my Spirit is in you to enable. My Spirit is in you to enable. And that's why we yield. Yielding is giving up. Saying, Father, I can't, but you can. Father, I'm going to stop trying and just let your life flow in me in the way that you want to. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you. You are Lord. You are God. You are King. You are mighty. Father, I've been praying the last few days since that encounter with God the other night. Father, I've been yielding afresh in my own life and in different ways responding to the Lord. But I've been praying for us as a body. Father, would you find us to be a yielded people? Would you find us to be an obedient people? Would you find us to be the people you've called us to be, that yielded people that give way to you, that are wanting to walk in your ways and your commands so that you can bring that harvest, that life, whatever that looks like in our own personal lives or our life together across all the congregations in the region and beyond. Father, I thank you. Do you find us to be a yielded people? Not living two lives, one where we yield in the spiritual moments that we can't kind of compartmentalize, and one where we're doing our thing over here and all that, but no, our lives are fully given over to you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just yield that decision you need to make. Just yield that pressure that you've been under. Just yield that challenge you've been going through. Just yield that distraction that you've yielded to. Just now yield yourself to God so that distraction, that hook of that distraction gets unhooked from your life. Just yield to him and whatever's going on, whatever challenges, struggles, stresses, this, that, and the other, just yield those things to him right now. Just yield them, yield them. And as you yield them, the power of those things gets broken. The energy in those things gets broken. Whatever they are, the momentum in those things gets undermined and dragged away from your life. If you yield yourself to him, then his life, his momentum, who he is, comes through. Some of you have just lost your peace and you've been living in stress and struggle. Just yield yourself afresh and you'll find the fresh baptism of peace comes upon you. You've just been at odds on the inside of you for a little while. And some of you have heard the great rest kind of messages we brought last year. But you just have had a sense of, I don't kind of seem I'm in the rest now. And we step out of rest when we give ourselves to other things. Just come back and yield yourself afresh to him. Just yield, yield, yield. That's the place of peace. That's a place of total well-being. It's a place that then leads to fruitfulness. That yielding is a place where fresh desire for him gets released and triggered. Yielded obedience. Yielded obedience. God's looking for his people, not just a church, but the church, his church, to be a people who live in yielded obedience. As I said, the flesh hates that with everything. But your spirit says, I want to yield to him. I want to surrender to him. I want to be under his lordship and authority. I want to obey whatever he wants me to do. I want to walk in his commands. Because you know, That is the ancient paths. That's the ancient paths. To walk in His commands, to walk in His ways, to walk in the way of love, to walk on that walk of faith, to walk in that highway of holiness. That is those ancient paths. As you yield and as you walk in those ways, that total well-being, that peace, that nothing else can satisfy you in that way. Nothing else fulfills you like living in that place of rest in God. But you can come and live in that place of rest because He has made you righteous. Because of what He has done, and give you right standing, right relationship with you, because He's dealt with everything that could separate you from Him. You can come boldly and confidently before Him. Father, I thank You for a fresh release today, fresh release today, fresh release today of Your Holy Spirit amongst us. Fresh release today. I thank You, fresh release today of Your Spirit afresh amongst us. Father, I thank You for not just Your Holy Spirit being released to come upon us, but a fresh rising up of Your Spirit in us. Father, I thank You for a fresh rising of Your Holy Spirit in us, Father. That rising up, that rising up, that rising up in this place, in our lives, in this church, across every congregation, Father, in this region, a rising up of Your Spirit, a rising up of Your Spirit, a rising up of Your Spirit. Father, I thank You. I praise Your name for a people on the move with You. Father, I thank You for a people that are listening to You, moving with You, attentive to Your voice, have a listening ear and a listening heart, Father, ready to flow and move with You. Whichever way Your Holy Spirit blows and moves, that is what people of the Spirit are like. You can't tell where they're coming from because they're being led by the Spirit. And Father, I thank You that You blow every piece of predictability out of our life individually, out of our lives together, as we yield to You, as we surrender to You, Father, as there's that rising up of Your Spirit on the inside of us. Every apathy, every complacency, every reason, every excuse, everything that we could say, Father, when we get stuck in ruts, Father, I thank You for a rising up of Your Spirit, a shaking out of every one of those things. Father, I thank You that You're stirring Your church. You're stirring Your people. You're rising up on the inside. You're blasting Your trumpet from heaven, saying, come on, church, come on, church. There's a nation to reach. 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 Come on, church. There's a nation to reach. Come out of your apathy. Come out of your complacency. Come out of your lukewarmness. Come out of everything that would hold you back. Come out of political correctness. Come out of tolerance. Come out of all the things that have sought to dampen, shrink you back. Come out of all of that stuff and be the kingdom people that I've called you to be. Be the people I've called you to be. Rise up on the inside. Rise up on the inside. Be who I've called you to be. Be the church I've called you to be. Be the army I've called you to be. Be the bride I've called you to be. Be the family I've called you to be. Be the household of faith I've called you to be. You can only live in the present. You cannot live in the past unless you allow it to affect your present. And you cannot live in the future because you can only live in the now. You cannot say, well, when I'm a better Christian tomorrow, or when I'm more full on for God tomorrow, or next week, or next year. Because you can only live in the today, in the now of who I am. And as you set your heart in the now of who I am in you, that's how you determine how you're going to live day by day. Because your walk with me is a day by day, it's an hour by hour, a minute by minute, moment by moment relationship. And how you live today, and how you choose to live right now, will determine by how you set your heart right now. Just hold out your right hand. Hold out your right hand. I just believe God is like placing like a scroll in everybody's hands. And you might want to just take hold of that. But in that scroll of commands, in that scroll, or if you like, the scroll in God's mind is on the scroll of commands and decrees and promises and all kinds of things that He's saying over your life, but also over our life together. Because when God calls people to be part of a body, He not only gives you personal promises, you then become part of the corporate promises that God gives. And so the scroll that you carry like a baton in your life as part of running the race that God has called you to run with others that are around you, that you're running with, there's a scroll in your hand with commands and decrees and promises about your life, but also infused into that scroll and then infused into your life are the promises and the decrees and the commands that God gives to the church, the body that God places you in to be part of. And God has placed you in this body, in this season of time, and your life is infused with the personal promises of what He wants to do today, at this hour in your life, with the body that you are part of and what He has said to us as a people, because we make up who we are. Kingdom Faith is not an organization. It's made up of those who are in what God has called Kingdom Faith. You and I, we are Kingdom Faith. Kingdom Faith is not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a structure. It's not a thing. It's a body of people. It's you and me. We are Kingdom Faith. We are the church here. We are the people. That's who we are. And on that scroll in your hand is written promises, commands, decrees for you and for all of us. And God says, this is like a baton in your hand. And I've called you to run a race with those around you. There's not an individual race. It's a race together as a body of people. And I want you to move as a body of people. I don't want you to straggle out in a long line that goes, some are running faster than others and some are being left behind. I've called you to move and run as a body of people. And I've called you, every one of you, whether newly saved or whether saved for many years, whether mature in the faith or you're just trying to get your head around how to even hear God. I've called you to run together. I've called you to run together. I've called you to run together. And these are days not to decide what shall I give myself to and what shan't I, what shall I get involved with and what shan't I. It's days where you say, God, my life's fully into what you are doing. And whatever that means in terms of what I'm part of, Father, I'm fully into whatever you are doing. Because as you run that race, there is a responsibility to shoulder with others and carry what God is saying with others. That we're all carriers of the vision. We're carriers of the mission, which is to see lives transformed. It's to see people made disciples. It's to see the purposes of God advancing and going forward. It's a challenge to every one of our lives. It doesn't matter what our jobs are, what our family life is like. It doesn't matter what world we're in our own kind of world. God calls every person to lay their life down. And somehow, everything that we do has to fit in with what God is saying. And if we say, I'm too busy for that, too busy for this, too busy for the other, then our life is too busy with stuff. Because God doesn't call you to live a busy life. He calls you to live a fruitful life. God doesn't say, get busy for the kingdom. He says, I've called you to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to last. He's given us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That must be enough to accomplish whatever He wants to do in us personally and corporately. He hasn't given us 8 days and 26 hours. He's given us what we have. And that must be enough to make the world go round and everything else to happen and work. Got your right hand in the air now. Just take a hold fresh. Promises that God has given you. Father, I thank you for your promises that you've given to me about my life, my marriage, my family. I thank you for things you've spoken to me about the church, about who we are as a people. Father, thank you. You gave us that whole vision of revival for a generation, to see the turning of the tide of a godless society. You've told us to go along with every other believer on the planet. In Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20, we've got the same commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Father, I thank you that that's the mandate for your church. That's the mandate. Whatever other words we use to describe it and express it, that command you gave at the end of Matthew, they're saying, go make disciples. Go make disciples. And you poured out your Spirit to enable that to happen. You poured out your Spirit to enable us to go in your name. You poured out your Spirit not just to give us great times and a few spiritual tickles here and there. Father, you baptized your people in power. And you said to those early believers, wait for the promise that's going to clothe you with power from on high. Father, I thank you. You've already clothed us with your power from on high. And Father, I thank you as we live in that yielded obedience, there is a greater release of your Holy Spirit. There's a greater release of your life and power. There's a greater release of who you are in us, amongst us, and through us. Father, to go in your name that enables us to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to remain. Fruit that's going to last. Father, I thank you. No one is here by accident. Every person is here because it's your plan and purpose. Wherever you have placed people, in any body, any church, they're there because you purposed it, because you want their life to matter in that place, as you do every one of us in this place. And everybody's life is significant. Everybody's life matters in what you want to do. Just yield yourself afresh, maybe with your right hand. I know you probably had your right arm in the air a long time, but just hold your right hand out with that scroll, that baton in your hand, saying, Father, I don't belong to myself, I belong to you. But I thank you that in this scroll, in this baton that you placed in my hand, promises, commands, and decrees that enable me to live in the way you've called me to. To bear fruit in a way that you've purposed me to be part of a body that I'm blessed to be part of, that you want me to bear fruit with everybody else in this place, to see Horsham impacted with the gospel of your kingdom, to see this 25 mile radius impacted with the gospel of your kingdom, to see our nation impacted with the gospel of your kingdom. Father, I thank you, I praise your name, like Jesus feeding the 5,000. You said to your guys, hey, let's feed these. Let's feed the people. There were 5,000 men and others. There's 15, 20, 25,000 people there. And he said, hey, let's feed them. Well, how are we going to feed them? He already knew what he had in mind. But his disciples came and said, it's going to take 8 months' wages, 220, 230 days' wages to do this. Where are we going to get it from? Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he was asking a question, because he was looking for a faith response. Whenever Jesus asks a question, he's looking to see what our response to the question is. Every time he asked somebody, even a blind guy came to him, and it was obvious, what did he need? He needed his sight back. But when they came to Jesus, Jesus said, what is it that you want me to do for you? I mean, I'd be like, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, Jesus? But he's looking for the man's response. And the man said, I want my sight back. That's why I've come to you. And Jesus said, right, according to your faith, it'll be done to you. Boom, the guy got healed. Jesus was looking for a faith response from his disciples. And then what did he do? They brought him the few loaves and a couple of fish. And what did he do? I love this, because just before the beginning of the story, it says it was a time of Passover. Jesus then took the bread, the little loaves, and he took the couple of fish, couple of sardines, whatever they were. And he broke the bread. And then he gave it to the guy, saying, now feed everybody. And it's a parallel. What Jesus was doing at that moment, it was a parallel to who he is and what was going to happen to him. He took what seemed to be little, but it fed a multitude. And he knew he was going to go to the cross because he was going to become the Passover lamb. He was going to become the ultimate sacrifice for multitudes of people. And when he broke the bread, it was like what was going to happen to him as he was whipped and beaten and taking sickness and sin upon himself and becoming all those things for us so that we don't have to be condemned and judged, but instead we can be forgiven and made right with God. And it was a parallel moment when he's like, my life is going to, I'm going to die. My life's going to seem to be broken and in pieces. But yet, as my life is placed in your lives, this is what, as he gave him the bread and fish, it was like, you take what I've just blessed. You take what represents who I am. Now you go and feed the multitudes. Go and see the impossible become possible right in front of your eyes. And what Jesus is saying, it's like, he's saying, I've put before you a vision, I put before you a mission, I put before you something to reach 15, 20 plus thousand people in your region. You're part of the church in the nation, reaching the whole nation. What seems so little in your hands and what seems to be impossible, as I give myself to you and put my life inside of you, and I say, now go and feed the people, you're going to begin to see a multitude of people saved, a multitude of people fed, a multitude of people reached. And Jesus this morning is asking us, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Are you looking at what is in your own hands, or are we looking at what is in his hands? We can turn that around as well. We put our lives in his hand and he speaks blessing over our lives and all of that, but I believe there's a more powerful thing. He said, no, it's my life in you, and I send you to go and feed the multitudes. I love the next part of the story when he says, make sure you pick up every little thing that is left over, because they were fed. Everybody, it says, they ate as much as they wanted, and there were 15, 20, 25,000 people there. They all ate out of 5 loaves and a couple of fish. They had a feast. And then there were 12 basketfuls left over, one for each disciple, just to make the point to them, say, hey guys, you can have one basketful each. God never, ever wastes anything. We could say he's more than enough. He does more than enough. Absolutely. But what God, I believe God is saying, it doesn't matter how many people I call you to reach, your neighbor, your friends, your work colleague, whatever the number, it doesn't matter. But he said, you're always going to have more than you'll ever need to go. You'll never run out. You'll never run dry. You'll never be left without enough. You'll never know what to do, what to say, how you need to be, because as you go and as you feed and as you give and as you love and as you sow and as you lay your life down, you'll find there's more of me, more of me, more of me, more of me, more of me. And when you've even run out of people to reach, you'll say, God, there's still more for people. My question to you today is, do you believe me? Do you believe me? Do you believe me? See, God's budget is not our budget. They looked at their budget and said, man, that's going to take 8 months' wages. We haven't even got that. Jesus is about to blow the budget. See, God doesn't look at the budget in our lives. He doesn't look at the budget in our hands. I'm not talking about money here. He doesn't look at the budget of what we look at. He says, no, come on, guys, it's exponential what is in your life. It's exponential what is in your hands. Does anybody believe this in here this morning? Let's all stand together. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. One of the things that happened on, I think it was the last night, Thursday, right at the end. We're not going to do it again now, but it was just a God moment thing. After everything that had happened and taken place, it was awesome, awesome time. What I saw a picture of was that we were all right before the throne anyway, but it wasn't that just we were before the throne. It was like God was here walking amongst us. It was just, I don't know how to describe it, but it was like we were all right before him. And I saw the people in the room anyway at the time, all of us go down onto one knee, because we were all like knights, fully armored up, already kitted to go. And it was like we all bowed down on one knee, as if, you know when a knight bows and he kind of, whatever they do, I don't know what you call it, but everybody went on one knee before their king, or before their captain, or before their leader. It's like we're all down on one knee before our Father. And heads bowed, and yet we were all fully armored up, ready to go. It was like an army that was ready, an army that was lined up. It was like an army of people bowing their knee to their leader, to their Lord, to their King, to the one who was in charge to give directions. And as we were there, it was like the Father saying to his army, go, 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 go. Go, go, it's time to go, it's time to go, it's time to go. It's time to be before his throne, not just, well, what do we do now? Are we before his throne or are we going? Which one are we doing? It's time to live before his throne in our lives, daily, moment by moment, as we live before his throne, living in the great rest, as we live moment by moment with him, yielding to him in obedience, then we're living before his throne in our everyday lives as we seek to walk in our lives. And in that moment, then we're going, but we're going like we're living before his throne, but yet we've been sent out as throne room people to live before his throne as a yielded people in obedience, but yet we're out there going, sharing our faith, giving our testimonies, serving, loving, reaching people in different ways. God is turning the church inside out. Maybe I'm the only one who believes that. Thank you, Jesus, that you're turning me inside out. I think we all believe it. It's a challenge to your flesh, challenge to your life, what God is saying. But man, God's releasing something fresh amongst us during these days. Releasing something fresh amongst us in these days. We've got to go with him, flow with him. Some people in the room, you might be excited in what God's doing. You're like, yeah, it's awesome. God's doing loads in my life. The time this week was amazing. There might be others in your room where you're going, yeah, well, yeah, I think something's happening. And there might be others in the room where you're going, well, I don't know, Clive, you're on another planet to where I'm on. I don't know if God's moving around here. Let's talk about revival for a moment. People talk about revival like it's a sovereign move and people are waiting for revival. Yes, I believe there are seasons of revival that are sovereign moves of God. And loads of people get caught up in it. But as soon as that flow and move finishes, however months or years later, people fall out of it. I don't want to live according to a wave of revival or something like that. I want to live moment by moment, day by day, yielded in obedience. Because you find those that are at the heart of any move of God, whatever word you want to call it, okay, is where they've yielded And it's like God has risen up on the inside of them. And they're not living and waiting for something to come upon them and say, well, until it comes upon me, until all this thing that I think revival is happening around us, then I'll give myself to it or whatever. No, what God says is no, yield moment by moment. It's liberating. It's liberating. I tell you, it's liberating. It's not heavy. It's not hard. It's not whatever. Yielding in obedience. It's liberating. It brings freedom. There's an ease. You live at peace because it's like you're not struggling with me and with God, with myself and with God in your own life. Not you might be struggling with me. I don't know, but you know, there's not that struggle on the inside because you yielded. You yielded. You find there's a flow. There's a flow in all sorts of ways, not just spiritually, but you flow. There's a flow in relationships. There's a flow in your life. There's just stuff that goes on. You find yourself having to make things right with other people. There's some things that you find, actually, I'm going to go and say, I need to go and ask them to forgive me. I want to say sorry. I want to say something else to these people because something's going on in you. And it's not shall I, shan't I. You just want to go and do it because something's happening on the inside of you. It's time to yield, time to yield, time to yield. Live in that obedience, in His commands, in His ways, that are liberating, liberating, liberating. Father, we thank You, we praise Your name. This was the preach this morning. Father, I thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for how You're working and moving. Thank You, Jesus. How, what is happening in you will be determined by how much you yield to Him. How much you yield. Remember, yielding is giving way. And as you yield and give way, then God yields something in you and through you. That's why we're yielding. We're not just yielding, so we yielded. And it's like, oh, you know, I've yielded to the Lord and it's hard work. No, you yield so that He can come more fully through. What's living in the great rest? Yielded. Moment by moment, I'm yielding, Father. I'm surrendering. I want You to flow. What does it mean to yield? It means to live in Christ. It means to live in who I am in Christ, not in my own effort, trying to do things in self. Yielded means I'm living as a child of God, not as an orphan, trying to do things in my own strength and effort. No, I'm living as a child of God because of who I am in Christ and because of what He's done for me. I'm living in that righteous life that He's blessed me with. I'm living as a holy person. I'm not trying to be holy. Instead, I'm yielding to Him who is my holiness. I'm yielding to Him who is my peace. I'm yielding to Him who is my righteousness. We'll be made right with Him, that right standing. See, when you yield, it's like there's an ease. There's just a... Oh. You begin to stand up on the inside instead of walking around with your head bowed a bit and feeling a bit like stuff is hard and stuff, you know, the enemy's having a right go here and you get wrangled so easily on the inside. When you're living yielded, it's like, Father, You're awesome. You might not understand everything. You might not get everything going on. That's all right. But when you yield it on the inside, stuff on the outside doesn't determine what happens on the inside. Instead, when you live yielded, you're at that place of rest and peace and you surrender to God. What that does, that begins to determine what happens on the outside. It begins to change things because something's happened on the inside of you and I. So we don't live outside in. We live inside out. Father, I thank You for a fresh revelation in this place for every person, whether people know You or not. If you don't know Jesus here today, God longs for you to know Him. God longs for you to know Him. Maybe you might say, I don't know if anybody's ever longed for me. Well, God longs for you to know Him. How do you know that? Because 2,000 years ago, He did something that showed His love and His longing for you to have relationship with Him, for you to know Him and for Him to be in your life and for you to find the hope and the future and the destiny and the purpose of why you're alive on this planet. And 2,000 years ago, because none of us are good enough. Nobody in the room was good enough. There's not a person on the planet that is good enough for God. And because God knew that we were never going to be good enough, He said, I'm not going to stay in heaven and see if people on earth can make themselves good enough to reach me. No, I'm going to come down from heaven. I'm going to come down onto earth, and I'm going to reveal who I am to people that I've created and made. Who've turned their backs on me, and I'm going to reveal who I am to them so they can see what kind of God I am and the relationship that I want them to have with me. And he sent himself, and he came in Jesus, and Jesus showed us how to live. He showed us who the Father is, what it's like to have a relationship with God. But Jesus laid his life down, and he hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. And all the things that separate you and I from God, our sin, all the stuff and rebellion that we say, God, I don't want to know you. I don't need you. I'm doing my own thing. I've got my own life. Thank you very much. I don't think there's a God, or I think science rules, or I think this, that, and the other. All of that stuff. In the middle of all of that, Jesus being rejected, beaten, spat upon, beard ripped out of his face, crown of thorns sunk into his skull, whipped and beaten. And during all that process, every sin we've ever done and ever might do in the future, he took all of that on himself. Every sickness, every diagnosis, doesn't matter what it is, he took all of those things upon himself. And when he hung on the cross, he was hanging there in absolute agony, completely disfigured. The Bible says he was unrecognizable. You couldn't recognize who he is. He was so battered and bruised, so ripped to shreds. Said he was unrecognizable, because that's what sin does in any person's life. It rips your life apart. It damages you. It disfigures you from being who God has called you to be. Sin disfigures you and stops you from being the person that God has called you to be. It shreds your life. Yet Jesus says, I hung there and took all of that stuff on myself so that you could be healed, so you could be made whole, so you could be the person that you're created to be, the person you're called to be, the person who knows God in the way that God intends you to be, having a fullness of life, having a purpose and a destiny, knowing why I'm here, why I'm alive. That's to know the living God, the Creator God. And you can come to him this morning and say, Father. Maybe you think, well, I don't know God as Father. Well, you can take a step towards him today, and he can become your Father. You can cross that divide. The Bible says that we all sin, but we fall short of who God is. And there's a divide, and Jesus is the one that filled that divide to make it way possible for us to cross from death, which is separation from God, spiritual death, to spiritual life, to know God. Two or three people, your hearts are pounding in here today, and you're like, this guy's pretty full on up there. Why? Because it's real. God's real. God is real, and he longs for you to know him. He wants you to yield your life today in the same way we've all been yielding. He wants you to yield your life today, where you say, God, I don't know who you are, but on the inside of me, something is just going off on the inside of me. Maybe there's some of you that have been away from God, and you just rocked up today and you thought, well, blooming heck, this is full on. But yet in your heart, you're going, God, I want to get back with you. I want to live in the way that bloke is talking about up the front there. And you just need to yield this morning and say, God, I yield my life to you. Wherever you are, if you're responding to him, if you've never met him before, you've never encountered God before, or you have, but you've gone away and you're coming back, you might just say, God, I yield to you today. I yield everything, everything, everything. God's not looking for a fancy prayer. He's looking for a response from your heart. And you can, whatever you want to say, God, I yield to you my whole life. Have it. Take the whole lot. God, forgive me for all the stuff I've done wrong. But God, I yield to you today. I surrender to you today. I've got to give my life to you today, but I've got to have your life in me today. God is not here just to bless us and get us out of trouble. Full stop. God is here to deal with all of that so that we can come into relationship with him and then live for the glory of his name. Live so that he is honored, so that he is glorified, so that he is blessed. We're here to bless God. We're here to glorify him. He's not here as our kind of cosmic butler just to do whatever we want him to do in our lives. Oh, God, I need this. God, I need that. No, as we live our lives to serve him and lay our lives out to God, I want to walk in your ways. God will bless you on the way. He'll look after all that stuff like a good father does. But what we want to do is set our faces after him. He'll take care of the rest. And as you seek him like that, you'll grow out to trust him and all of that sort of thing. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Maybe just see yourself right before his throne now. Let's all just get down onto one knee, shall we? Let's just do that. If you're not able to physically get down there, maybe just sit on your chair, but maybe just like lean forward on your chair and put, you know, like if you got your one leg down, you might lean one arm on your knee as if you're kind of leaning forward, sort of head bowed towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's like, God, I'm here as one of your children, as part of your bride, as part of your family, but I'm here as part of your army. And Father, I just yield to you this morning. I yield and surrender to you this morning. I yield and surrender to you this morning. Just yield your life in marriage, if you're married, if you've got kids, yield your family, yield everything you have, your home, vehicles, bank account, savings, whatever you might have, just yield your job, your career. Just yield the future. Yield the future. Say, Father, I want to live in the now with you. I don't want to live in tomorrow. I certainly don't want to live in the past and let the past affect me. Father, I thank you for a breaking off right now of anything from the past where people have lived in the now, but really they're living as the effects of the past. We just cut all those things off right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I believe there's a couple of people here where you've been divorced before and that you've been divorced in your life at some point, and you've lived under a cloud as a result, and you've lived with condemnation as a result of that, saying, God, I just don't know how you might be able to bless me because of what went on and how it finished and how I was in it all. And God's just saying, just yield this morning. Just yield. There's freedom for you right now. Freedom from every condemnation. Freedom from every sense of judgment right now. God does not, he's not sitting on his throne judging you. You've asked him to forgive you loads of times. You've got before him saying, God, we just take authority over all that condemnation right now, and we break that off your life in Jesus' name. You're not to live under that judgment and condemnation any longer. You're not to live under that false accusation from the enemy right now. We just break that off your life, and I just come out and live free in Jesus' name. Live free from all that stuff right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's somebody else here, and I don't know, it was a relative, I don't know which one, but there's a relative, and you had an argument with them, and the last time you saw them before they died, you had a big old argument and you never got it resolved, and you've lived with regret since that day. It was several years ago, and I believe God's just saying to you, yield it right now. Just yield that guilt now. Just throw it off. That is not part of your now, and it is certainly not part of your future. So just throw off that guilt right now. Say, guilt, I throw you off right now. You are not going to determine my now, and you are certainly not going to determine my future. So I throw that guilt off in Jesus' name. God has already forgiven you. The enemy's jumped on your back like a monkey, and he's saying, I'm not going to let that go in your life. Well, just throw that monkey off right now. That guilt is not yours. Be free from that in Jesus' name. Be free from that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Others of you, some of you live with regret, stuff you've done in the past, and with your mind, you know, well, I'm forgiven, but you've not lived with a sense of peace, and that's gone. It's history. It's finished. It's as if it's like east as far as the west. You haven't lived like that. There's various things people have done in the past, whatever they are right now. God wants you to throw them off right now. The sin that is entangled has been forgiven. Now throw it off today. Just throw it off. Be really active with your faith right now. So I choose to throw that off right now. I'm not living under regret. So every regret, I throw you off right now. You are not going to affect my life any longer. You're not going to affect my now, and you are certainly not going to affect my future. So regret, I throw you off now in Jesus' name. I've been forgiven, I've been cleansed, cleaned up and sorted, and I'm going to go forward free from this moment. There's weights lifting off people, heaviness lifting off people, oppression lifting off people. Thank you. There's a couple of others. You've been under depression recently. Just throw it off right now. Just rise up. I know it's not easy because everything in you feels like it's heavy, heavy, heavy. But just right now, just say, just activate your faith right now. You think, I haven't got any faith. It's in there. You have a mustard seed of faith this morning. Now just speak, depression, get off my life now in Jesus' name. I'm not living under you any longer. And I throw off that depression now. Throw it off. Go on, just throw it off. Throw it off. We're all with you. Throw it off right now. It's not yours. You're not living under it any longer. Just tell that thing. Tell it. Speak to it. Depression, get off now. I declare I'm free from that in Jesus' name. Free from that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I praise your name as we kneel before you right now. Father, you're clearing the decks. You're clearing the decks. You're clearing the decks. You're clearing the decks. Father, I thank you. You're clearing the decks so that we can go forward in your name. Not with hooks from the past, but free from all that rubbish, so we can go forward confidently and boldly in your name in every way that you've called us to, in our lives, in our personal lives, but also to reach others and see you move in others' lives. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Just hold that baton out in your hand. That baton is your sword. That baton is your sword. That baton is your sword. It's got God's commands, his decrees, his promises. It's got his word all over it right now. Say, Father, I thank you for the sword in my hand, the scroll in my hand, the baton in my hand. Father, I thank you for the mandate you've given me to go in your name, to make disciples with everybody else in this place. Father, I thank you. You commission me right now. I thank you. You send me right now. I thank you. You empower me right now. I thank you for that enabling right now to go in your name, to move in your name, to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. Just speak that over your life, guys. Come on, rise up in faith right now. Rise up right now. Speak that over your life as you kneel before him. As you kneel before him, Father, I thank you. You've equipped me with everything I need for life and godliness. You've equipped me for everything I need to affect others' lives, to share the gospel, to give my testimony, to lay hands on the sick, to bring words of wisdom, to bring words of life, to bring release into others' lives. Thank you. You've equipped me. You've enabled me. You've anointed me. I thank you that your spirit is on me and in me and rising up on the inside. Father, I thank you that you're a move. Let's all stand. I thank you you're on the move right now in every one of our hearts and lives, and anybody who's yielding to you this morning. Father, I thank you for that release today, that release today, that release today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray over every child, every young person in this church, whether they're out in their meetings, wherever they are, Roffey Place or upstairs here, meeting down in Worthing or Crawley, wherever they are, we just speak over this younger generation. We speak over our children, our young people. Father, we thank you that your hand is on him, on them. Thank you, you're giving them a mandate for their generation, to reach into their generation with the life and the power of the gospel, the life and power of who you are. Father, I thank you that you raise up this younger generation in our church, that with a greater momentum, a greater release of who you are in them and through them, to impact their schools and their colleges and their universities. Father, I thank you for a young generation on the move with you in this church, who will look at someone and go, wow, where'd you get that wisdom from? Wow, where did you see those miracles? Wow, where did you get that understanding from? Wow, look at the stature in their life. Look at the godliness in their life. It's amazing that you live with such purity in your generation, that we champion them. We champion them. We champion them to be who you've called them to be, Father. We praise your name. We praise your name for our children and young people. We just draw a bloodline around the whole of our lives right now. We draw a bloodline around our lives right now, around this church, around every congregation, around our lives and families and households. We draw a bloodline right now in Jesus' name of protection, firstly, from any accidents, any ailments, any sicknesses, any destruction. We just draw a bloodline right now in Jesus' name. But also, Father, I thank you for the release of the power of your blood in our lives, that we live in the power of your blood. We live clean. We live cleansed. We live in the power of your blood. We live in the power of who you are, Father. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Time's kind of flying, so let's just get our tithes and offerings ready. It's all part of our worship and yielding anyway, isn't it? So let's just get our tithes and offerings, whatever you want to put in to the offering today, whatever's in your heart today, whatever it is. Just get your tithes and offerings ready. If you want to gift aid it, if you're a taxpayer, you can do. Just make sure you put whatever you're putting in, make sure you put it in an envelope, and just put your name and the info on there, and we can get the tax back from the government and add to the offering. Father, we thank you, we praise your name. If you want to just pass the buckets round, Father, we thank you, we praise your name. You know, as you're putting your finance in there, it's your life, it's your life, it's your life going in there as well. Your finances are part of your life. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. It's part of who we are. So it's like you're saying, God, I yield my finances to you. As you give today, I yield my finances to you. I yield what you placed in my hands to steward. I thank you that you bless me. I thank you that you bless me. I thank you that you bless me. But Father, I yield afresh my bank accounts, savings and shares and everything else that might add up to wealth, my home, whatever it is, Father, as I put stuff in the offering today, I yield afresh that area for you to do whatever you want to in. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Just turn to somebody else next to you. Just stand face to face with somebody else in the room for a moment. Just stand there face to face with somebody and just say to them, I am so glad that God has called us to walk together in the purposes of God. Now just have a look around you. There's a few empty chairs this morning. Just look around at some of the empty chairs. And now just say, it's time for those chairs to be filled with disciples of Jesus that have come to know Christ, because I've been out there telling them about Christ. So we have a mandate from God, not just to fill chairs, but to see people's lives transformed. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a great shout of praise. Come on, guys. Let's thank him, praise him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.